You can open up your Bibles to John chapter 3. It's a wonderful opportunity that we have today on Communion Sunday to sit around the Lord's table. We sit around the table as a family, and we want to focus our attention on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he has done. And so we do this once a month, and it's a great opportunity. I love this Sunday where we can just really concentrate on what Christ has done for us. And as we're studying John chapter 3, it fits right in. So we're going to stay in the Gospel of John this morning. John chapter 3. I had an experience this past week that maybe some of you have experienced too. I was just working in the backyard, and all of a sudden a song popped into my mind that I haven't sung or heard or thought about for years. And it just kind of popped right into my mind, and I began singing it like I knew it and like I was performing it. Not as if you wanted to hear it, but it just kind of flew out. It just kind of came out of me smooth like butter. I mean, the lyrics just came to me. Has that ever happened to you before? It just kind of, I don't know where I heard it or why it popped into my mind. But music is a wonderful medium for memory, is it not? I just recently told Carol, she's not here, so you can, she's back there in the nursery, so you can talk to her about it. I said, Carol, I know that she sometimes struggles, that I don't remember the things that she tells me. I said, well, if you just sing them to me, then maybe I'll remember. You know, honey, take out the trash, and make sure you give a bottle to Rose, and do a little like that. How could I forget that if she did that, right? So I just said, hey, sing it to me, and I won't forget. But she hasn't tried that yet. We'll see if she does. But music is wonderful memory. Here's the song. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flows. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. And it was one of those great moments when that song came to my mind, and I'm working, I'm singing, it just kind of put a pep in my step. It just encouraged me as I sang it. I just felt more alive as I sang this song. The day just seemed to be better, the sun brighter, you know, the breeze cooler as I sang this song. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. If you know him this morning, then you can sing that same refrain with me. There's something about that. If once you know Christ, you get that sense of the sweetness and the beauty and the wonder of who he is. There is something powerful in the name of Jesus, is there not? All right, there certainly is. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is salvation in none other, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. If you ask anything, John 14, if you ask anything in my, I will do it. In Philippians, God has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that he is Lord. There is something powerful in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior. Thank you for who he is and what he has done. May he be worshipped well here this morning. May his truth be clearly stated. May your Spirit have free reign in our midst, speaking to us, drawing us to yourself, bringing conviction, encouragement where necessary. And may we all know that we have met with you this morning as we have gathered around the table of our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 3, begin reading with verse, let's see. How about verse 11? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness, Jesus said. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Notice, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There it is again, the power of the name. Now, as we do on Communion Sunday, the sermon will be a little bit shorter, so I want to encourage you guys to think about how you want to respond with your praises and your testimonies and your songs as we gather around the table together. But as true as that statement is that I just made, that there's power in the name of Jesus Christ, there has been great confusion about what that means. Some believe, and some even teach, that the mere utterance of his name, or the whisper, or the shouting forth of his name, that the mere shouting it forth brings with it God's power. As if the name of Jesus is some magical wand, or it's the Christian's way of saying abracadabra. If you just say it, the power will come. And in that way, you kind of are the master, and God becomes the genie. And when you want to have divine power in your life, you just shout forth his name, and then it will come on your command. And loved ones, that is not scriptural, even though that may be practiced in some churches and taught by some teachers. I enjoy listening to the Joy FM, listen to it on the way here. I enjoy the Christmas music that they play, and I enjoy a lot of the other songs that they play, but I do wish that they would show some discernment. Don't just play every song that's labeled Christian. It comes into your studio and it says Christian on it, so I guess we play it. Listen to it first. Why don't you? Listen to it and make sure it doesn't have bad theology or confusing theology. Because sometimes I'm listening to some of the songs and I'm saying, hasn't anybody listened to this? And it may not even be that the writer of this song is intentionally doing anything, but it's just confusing the way it's written. Especially when you consider some of the false teachings that are going around the church these days. Here's one particular song that I heard recently on the Joy FM, and just two lines from it. When you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. There's power in the name, just say Jesus. Now, again, I don't know the intention of the author of this. It may be perfectly pure, but at best it's confusing with what we have going on in the church. It appears to be saying that if you just speak the name, that the power comes with the verbal expression of the word Jesus. That heavenly divine power comes if you just speak forth the name. And that is not scriptural. Let me just give you two examples that I looked up on the internet of those who actually teach this. And I'll read a section from their teachings. One says, when you pronounce the name Jesus, you know very little of the treasures hidden in it. Now, this could be confusing. It is so powerful, so certain, and there's a lot of truth mixed into it. Always is with error. It is so powerful, so certain, but it never fails to produce in our souls the most wonderful results. It consoles the saddest heart. It makes the weakest sinner strong. We must therefore do our best to form the habit of saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus very often every day. We can do it when we're dressing, when we're working, when we're cooking, no matter what we are doing. We can say it continually, many times, each and every day. Bear in mind that each time we say Jesus, we give God great glory, we receive great graces for ourselves, and we help souls who are in purgatory. Folks, who is the master there? Who is dispensing the power? I become the dispenser of God's power. It's up to me. All I need to do is say this word, this magical word, abracadabra, and then he will do as I wish. I will receive blessing. I will receive graces. I will be giving God glory, and people in purgatory will be set free or whatever happens to them, according to this teacher. This is, of course, a Catholic teacher, but here's one from an evangelical perspective. Or one would be considered evangelical perspective anyway. I am now going to tell you about the simplest, shortest, most powerful prayer in the world. It is called the Jesus Prayer. And it consists simply in uttering the single word Jesus in any situation, at any time and place, either aloud or silently. Because it is so short and simple, the prayer can be prayed literally at any time at all, at any time at all, and at all times. When you say Jesus, try not to meditate on scenes from the gospel or on truths from theology. Just reach out to Jesus in blind faith. Repetition of this holy name conditions our unconscious mind to see the name, that name, as normal and central, which it should be. See, there's things in here that are good. You may object, but this sounds like a magic spell or a mantra, something not rational. Well, in a sense, it is. Do you not know that black magic can be overcome only by white magic, not by reason? Secularism and materialism are powerful spells of black magic. Certainly they're evil. It makes us judge Jesus by its standards instead of judging it by his standards. That's a great line. Wonderful line. This prayer conditions us to know what is real, that Jesus is everywhere and ultimately the meaning of everything. Another great line. It is, notice, it is the golden key. It opens all doors, transforms all corners of our lives. But we do not use the golden key, and the doors remain locked. The name of Jesus is so powerful that it can unlock, that it can knock the devil out of our souls. Folks, this is not a scriptural teaching. Again, do you notice in this statement how the power then is wielded by the person who's speaking? When we call out on the name of Jesus, we are calling out for his grace and his power, and then he determines how he is going to administer that in our lives, the lives of our family, the requests that we're raising. It is up to him. We may cry out to Jesus in time of desperation, and it may be his will to leave us in that desperate situation. We have no promise or guarantee that by crying out the name of Jesus, that powerful deliverance will come to us. It is not a biblical truth. God, for his own reason, according to his grace and his love for us, may allow us to stay in a difficult situation. I am not saying that we should not use the name of Jesus in our prayer, and I am not saying that it's unbiblical to repeat Jesus' name. You can repeat the name of Jesus a number of different ways and not a vain way and just cry out, and there may be nothing coming to your heart when you're seeking in his presence, and you can only say, Jesus, or help Jesus, or Lord, save me, and nothing else comes. Wonderful. But you still are putting yourself, your life, your prayer in the hand of God. You are not using God as a magical wand to get what you want. And that is the problem that we see in the church today, where God becomes a servant to the individual who calls himself a Christian. Not the servants remain as servants to the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. I was talking to Carol about this, and we just recently watched that Disney movie Aladdin. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but Robin Williams does a wonderful job of playing the genie in that if you've never seen it. Anyway, what does the genie say in that? The genie comes forth and he says, you have three wishes, and whatever you, the genie's the all-powerful one, not the Aladdin. He's just a poor slave of a boy, right? He has no power over anything. But the genie says, you are my master, and what you say I will do, even though I'm the almighty one. Folks, that is not how our relationship works with God. He remains almighty, he remains all wise, and we are not all wise. And so when we bring our petitions and our prayers before him, we are laying ourselves before his mercy and grace and asking him to do what is best. And then he decides when to dispense his power in our lives. It's not us. And if you know anything about paganism, this type of talk, this type of power in verbiage is deeply rooted in paganism and Eastern mysticism. What are the two principles that I want you to get from this? Go again to verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There are two real principles here for the truth of the statement. There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. There are two principles, though, that arise out of Scripture of what that really means. First of all, the power in the name of Jesus is in the person, not the pronunciation. The power in the name of Jesus is in the person and not the pronunciation. The power in the name of Jesus is because he is God, as we have studied in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. His life, his death, his redemption, his place in the Godhead, all these are the reason why there's power in his name. The power is found in the person, not in the word. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and I will read it. You can turn there if you'd like. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says this. When he had by himself purged our sin, who are we talking about here? Jesus, right? Jesus, when he by himself had purged our sin, your sin, my sin, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance attained a more excellent name than they. His is the great, mighty name, the sweetest name I know, because of who he is and what he has done, not because how his name sounds or how it flows off my lips, but because of who he is as a person. Power in the name of Jesus. I have a short clip that I want to show about this. If you can show that now, I'll step out of the way, and I'll talk about it briefly, show you, explain to you why I think this is significant in this discussion. Here's the question. Why is it that he had such passion about his name? What was it about his name that gave him such passion that he was not willing to sign his name on this piece of paper, this piece of paper that was a lie? His name represented his integrity, right? The very essence of who he was. Because, he says, in this life I will not have another. The name was not just in the air. It wasn't just significant in itself. It only found significance in it was his name. And the only reason why the name of Jesus has significance is because it's his name. Because it's the name of the Word. Because it's the name of the Lamb of God. Because it's the name of Emmanuel, Redeemer, Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, my Savior, my King. That is why the name Jesus has significance. That is why it is the sweetest name I know. And if you detach the name from the person, then it loses everything. It becomes meaningless. And it can be used in any way by anyone. The first reason, the first principle of why the power, why there is power in the name of God, is because the power is connected to the person, not the pronunciation. And number two, the power is connected, the power of the name of Jesus comes from our relationship with him, not empty repetition. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. If you're in the book of John, just turn over to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 12 says this. But as many as received him, that's a relationship word. But as many as received him, it says, to them he gave the power, the right, the authority to become the children of God. Notice, to those who believe what? In his name. The power is in the name of Christ because the power is about relationship, not vain repetition. The reason why my heart is full of joy or full of of wonder and full of worship when I say the name Jesus is not because the name just comes off my lips in some sort of musical way, but it is because he is real to me. Because he has freed me from my guilt and my sin. Because he has given me a home in heaven. Because he lives with me every day and walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. It's the relationship that gives it power. We know about this tragedy in California that happened, right? Well, there's a wonderful story that's coming out of this tragic, horrific experience where 14 people died. One of the ladies who was a survivor, her name was Denise, and she was in the room when the gunman stormed in and began to just riddle the place with bullets. She was standing next to a dear friend of hers. His name was Shannon. His name was Shannon Johnson. And as soon as the bullets began to spray around the room, he stepped in front of her, shielding her from the bullets. And as they fell to the ground together, he reached, the last thing that she remembers is what he said. And he said, "I've got you." He never left that room alive. She did. And when she was laying in a hospital bed and realized what had happened and realized that he had been riddled with the bullets that would have been meant for her, this is what she said. "What an amazing man. He always brought a smile to everyone's face. He had these great stories of his childhood in Georgia. He will be missed by all. My friend, my hero." I tell you what, you walked up to Denise and you mentioned the name Shannon. There's power in that name for her. Because of the person. Because of the relationship. Because of what he did for her. Folks, what has Jesus done for you? Really stop and consider that. What he has given for you. What he laid aside for your behalf. What he took upon so that you would not have to stand before God with guilt and judgment. He took that judgment. He took your guilt. He bore all the ugliness, the weight, the horror, the loneliness, the despicableness of sin. He bore in his body as he died on that cross. And all the judgment and wrath that I deserve that you deserve, he took upon himself. That relationship now that I have with him makes his name ever so sweet and great. It's tied to the person. So yes, whisper his name. Yes, shout his name. Yes, pray his name. Even many times. But never think for a moment that the power is in the verbiage or the pronunciation of his name or the actual spoken letters of J-E-S-U-S. Always know that the power is in the person. And we rest before him. We humbly bow before him, waiting on him, trusting in him that he will do what is right, that he will act graciously and bless us. But we wait on him. We do not demand anything. We wait upon the God in whom we trust. And this is what we do here this morning as we gather around his table. We remember the great name of our Savior. But we remember it according to the principles and the teachings of Scripture, not according to mysticism or paganism, but according to how we have been taught. And this is how we worship him together. Let me just close with a story as I give you some time to respond. That kind of puts this into perspective. If you turn over to John chapter 9, we were reading as a family John chapter 9 this past week, and we were going around as we do as our custom, and everybody was kind of talking, either asking questions or making comments about this chapter. And in this chapter, we have the healing of the blind man. A blind man who was blind by birth, you know, who knows, he may have not had eyes at all. However he was blind from birth. Everybody knew he was blind. God wondrously, Jesus wondrously uses his power, right? And he heals him. And then this man faces nothing but skepticism and slander and criticism from the religious leaders of that day. They go as far to cast him out of the temple, cast him out of their presence. And as we're talking about this, it was time for Aiden, and he said, it's really weird that they kicked out the man who had the power of God. He meant the one that had been touched by God's power, had been changed by God's. It's really weird that they kicked him out. And then as it is with Aiden, is he here? There he is. I'm sure he's a little embarrassed right now. I didn't get his permission to say this. Sorry, buddy. He has a real sweet, sensitive spirit. And as it is with him, often when he begins to talk or to pray about the Lord or pray, he began to cry. And he said, our ways are just not God's ways. And God's ways are best. Look at verse 35 of John chapter 9. So they kick him out of the temple. They kick him out. They cast him out at the end of verse 34. But then notice verse 35. And this verse right here is a verse that can preach. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him. Have you been found by our Savior? Has he searched you out and found you and drew you to himself and redeemed you and saved you? Oh, then there's something wonderful about that expression. And when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? What is his name?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. There's where the power is, folks. We see both. We see the power in the person as he brought healing to this man. Then we see power in the relationship as this wonderful relationship now begins to bloom between this man who was once blind and now his Redeemer and Savior and his King. And so he bows down and he worships him. There's power in that, folks. And that's the power that draws us to this table. We're drawn around him, considering what he has done in his life and his death. The blood that was spilt and the hanging on the cross and the resurrection, which guarantees us our life in heaven. The power of the cross, the power of the gospel, the power of the name of Jesus rests in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen.